This is my tribe.
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 What's up? Welcome to the Tribe Night Messages podcast. Tribe Night is for students who are curious about faith and eager to discover how a relationship with Jesus could change their lives, their schools, and the heartland.
For more information, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at cstone.students or text tribe to 94,000. Hope you enjoy the message.
Sometimes it takes a party in our lives to experience the life that Jesus promised us. And whenever we are talking about party in this series, we're defining it in a different way than maybe you've heard it before. When we're talking about party, we're saying it's this effort to celebrate, to serve, or to make a really big deal about each other in a way that adds value to your life and to the people's lives that you're around. And we want you guys to be invited into that party, to be party starters in your world, however that looks, in your friend groups, in your families, on your sports teams, on band, whatever it is that you do, you have the opportunity to be able to start the party with the people around you. And whenever we talk about this as Christians, as party starters, we get to experience this life that God promised us. It's different than the life that maybe the world tells you about. This is a life where the volume is turned all the way up. It's a life that is more than you could have ever expected or dreamed of. It's a life that has more excitement in it because you know the Creator. It's a life with more peace. It's a life that has purpose. Who wouldn't want a life like that? So whenever we are talking about this party starter and start the party, it sounds a little bit cheesy, but the idea of it is that we would live our lives so other people would see Jesus. And I remember whenever I was in high school, we had a youth leader there, a student leader, and he lived his life just like this. He was a party starter. He was in a Christian band. He preached every once in a while. He led our small groups. He would go to church camp with us in the summer. I mean, this guy was everywhere, and he was absolutely awesome. He was constantly traveling around the country, getting to lead different camps and worship and preach to them and preach to hundreds of students throughout his time as a youth leader. And the way that he carried himself every single day, whenever you saw him, he always had a smile on his face. Whenever you saw him, he was always excited to see you. He was happy. He was joyful. He was outgoing. And he was what we're talking about whenever we say a party starter. Like God was clearly using him in his life. And he was allowing God to use him without any fear. And I had always just assumed, at least for me, that was the kind of person that God used. God used people like this youth leader, someone that had a really good personality, someone that knew a lot of things about the Bible, and they could worship really well, and they did it in an outgoing way, someone that could stand up on a stage and like speak confidently to people, to hundreds of people, without any flaw in the way that they spoke. See, I was convinced that was the kind of person that God used. And I was also convinced that I had none of those things. Zero of those. So as grateful as I was to get to know him and to learn from him and to have him pour into my life, to me, he represented the very things that I thought someone had to be in order to have influence on other people's lives. And for me, I was completely and totally convinced that I would never be like that. That he had it down, and I could never be as outgoing as him. I could never have the personality that he did. I could never be as confident in my faith as he was. I'd never have the influence on the people around me because I just wasn't him. Maybe you can think of somebody in your life where you're like, yeah, that person definitely has influence. I can tell, and I don't know if I'll ever be like them. I don't know if I can be like them. See, one thing that we see all around us, no matter what, is we see influence. We see it in the girl that's on Instagram that has thousands of followers, and every picture she posts gets thousands of likes. We see it in a random teacher who got on TikTok and started posting videos of their class, and now they're all of a sudden TikTok famous. We see it in that 14-year-old who gets on YouTube and keeps raking in subscribers just because he streams Minecraft a couple days a week. See, maybe you don't know someone personally, or you don't have a personal relationship with somebody who has this mass influence. But what we're talking about is this idea that it's just the average everyday person, somebody that you would encounter in your life, your cousin, your teacher, your sister, your brother, whatever it might be. It's this average everyday person who all of a sudden you watch as this person gains thousands, if not millions, of followers on social media. Their influence is crazy, and suddenly their opinions, their decisions, and everything they do matters to people. Whatever it is, they post it, people retweet it, people like it, people start doing what they do. They have influence. And then there's just the influence of the comments section, where you have a pinned comment that gets thousands of likes just because it was pinned to the top. Or you get the troll comments from people that have hundreds of replies where people were just trying to start some kind of argument with someone. And then some comments that are just being repeated over and over and over again because someone thinks it's funny, and it's really not, but they just keep doing it. And then suddenly you have user 384205_269 has influence. It makes no sense, but it's the world that we live in. Influence is crazy, and it's all over. And on top of that, each and every one of you has the power of liking a post, of commenting on someone's picture, of replying to them. Like, you aren't necessarily the ones that are saying anything, or you look like you have the influence, but with just a couple of taps on a screen, you have influence. But why is it that with all of this power at our fingertips, we have all this influence with just the touch of a button? We can sit here in our chairs, we can stand up, we can go throughout our lives, we can wake up in the morning, and we don't feel like we have what it takes to have influence on the people around us. We don't think we have what it takes to be a party starter. Maybe you think that you don't think you have enough influence on the world around you. You think, there's no way, I don't have any influence. Like, so why should people even care about the things that I'm saying? Like, I don't have influence. I have none at all. So why does it matter how I present myself? Why should I have to worry about the choices that I make every single day? Because nobody's really watching me. I don't have tons of followers. I don't have thousands of people who are looking to me. So why does it matter what I do? Maybe you've just never thought about influence or the influence that you could have. It's just never been something that crossed your mind. And if you're being completely honest, you aren't thinking a lot about the way that you live. You're not thinking about the decisions you make or how the things you do might impact someone else. You feel like you've already got enough on your plate and you're just trying to do you. And it doesn't really matter. I don't really care. I'm not really thinking about the way that I act and how it could impact someone else's life. Or maybe you're someone that you know you have influence. You know you're popular. You know people look to you whenever you speak. You know that if you're in a small group or in a classroom and you start talking, people listen. But it feels like way too much pressure. You're like, I know that people look up to me. I know that people are following me and seeing what I do, but I don't know if I can handle all of that. I don't necessarily even want it. Like I said, like I understand this whole confusion and this conversation about influence because as I was growing up, I felt like I had none. None at all. I was just the short kid who walked around and tried to make people laugh, but I never was for sure if the things I was doing and the people I was around really cared about what I was doing. But what if we are wrong about that? What if the thought that we have no influence on the people around us is just completely wrong? What if what we do actually does matter? What if you could use the years that you're growing up in right now to make a difference in someone else's life? What if having influence isn't actually about you in the first place? What if you really do have what it takes to make an impact on people's lives? Tonight we're going to be talking about this topic of influence, and we get to learn from Jesus, the one who had some of the most influence of anyone that's ever existed on this earth. And we're going to talk about something that he said in the book of Matthew, which was written by one of Jesus' friends. And Matthew was super close to Jesus. He was one of his 12 closest friends. He was a follower of Jesus. He was a disciple. And this means that Matthew was with Jesus almost at all times. He lived alongside Jesus. He got to see the miracles that he performed. He got to see Jesus' influence on the people around him firsthand. And tonight, we're going to look at a part of one of the very most famous talks that Jesus ever gave. And if you've been here on Sunday morning, then you have kind of heard what we're talking about with the Sermon on the Mount. We've been going through this summer-long series in main service on Sunday, and we're going through each section of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to dive into one part of this tonight. And it was called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus was teaching it to some of his closest followers. So Matthew was there, the 12 disciples, and there was a large group of people that were listening as well. And Jesus was teaching it from a mountainside, and that's where everyone was gathered. So they call it the Sermon on the Mount. See, people, they would come to hear what Jesus was saying any time that Jesus was teaching, because at that time, so much of what Jesus was saying, what he was talking about, it wasn't what they expected to hear. He taught completely different than all the other teachers of his time. And even though Jesus would teach about things that they had heard before, like he would teach about familiar ideas, he would find a way to flip them on their head. He would find a way to take it to the next level in a way that would be presented to them in a completely unexpected way, in a way that would make them think about it differently than they ever had before. You see, Jesus completely changed the game for people in the way that he would show them how to live. And he still does it today with the words that we get to read in the Bible. So let's take a look at some of what Jesus shared with the people on the mountain that day about what it means to start the party. It's in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 15. Here's what it says. It says, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house." So right away, Jesus gives this example, and it's kind of an obvious example. It doesn't take a lot of interpreting to figure out what he's talking about here. He's making the point that a city that's built on a hill would be really, really easy for people to see. Like, it's up there, and there's lights, they have their lamps, they have fires going, all this stuff. You would have seen it even in the dark from miles away. And Jesus wanted to expand on this idea by talking about a lamp as a symbol. And maybe you've heard this idea before, if you were here on a Sunday morning, or if you've had a small group about it, or if you've done your own studying. But the point behind this is that people didn't have electricity back then. They didn't have any way to light things without when the sun was down. So they would have to use things like a lamp. When it was dark outside, they would need something so they could see, you know, while they were traveling, or see while they were in their house, or however it may be. So he's saying that here's a lamp and you need it because it's dark. So why would it make any sense to cover that lamp at all? Like, why would you not want to light it? Why would you not want the light to be there? Like, no one could even see the light, so it completely loses its purpose. You have this light and you're refusing to use it. So I want us to turn the lights off in here real quick. And just imagine for a second that it's completely pitch black in here. It's not, but we'll just pretend. So it's dark in here and you have this lamp. There's no other light around. This is the only light that's there in this room that's full of darkness. See, with the lights off, your eyes are naturally drawn to this light. Like, you go directly to the light. In the darkness, light stands out. Like, would it make sense at all if you had this light in the darkness and you just decided that, I don't want it anymore. I'm just going to cover the light, even though there's darkness all around me and I need this light to see and other people need this light to see, I'm just going to cover it. It wouldn't really make any sense. It actually is pretty stupid. See, but this is what Jesus was saying. He says we're to shine the brightest where it's the darkest. Maybe the darkest is somewhere maybe it's at your school. Maybe you are the only believer in your family, or at the place that you work, or on your sports team. And Jesus is saying that we are supposed to shine our light in that darkness, to be beacons of hope to people who don't know Jesus. You can go ahead and turn the lights back on. And let's take a look at what Jesus says next. Jesus says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. See, now Jesus tells us how to shine. First, he said we need to, right? Jesus already clearly said that we are the light of the world. As followers of Jesus, we are the light. It's not something that you have to earn. It's not something that you have to live up to. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are the light of the world. So how do we shine that light? What do we have to do? Well, it's with the way that we live. It's the choices that we make. It's the things that we do each and every day, small or big. It's the way that we use our words whenever we're talking to our parents or talking to our friends. It's our actions. It's the gifts that God has given us. It's using our influence for good. See, whenever we do that, it points to something that's bigger than ourselves. It points to God's love at work in the world right now. See, whenever you actually take a second and you realize that your actions, your words, your behaviors, can actually influence other people and point them to God, then I think that completely changes the way that we see ourselves. It changes the way that we live, because we know that each and everything that we do is an opportunity to point someone to the Creator, to point someone to their Heavenly Father. In other words, a party starter lives like others are watching. Even if you feel like they're not, you live that way. See, if you're here tonight and you're a little unsure, you're not really sure what you think about God, how you feel about the church, about Jesus, about all this Bible stuff, I want you to know that if you've always just assumed this, if you just always assumed that Christians were the people who were just supposed to be good and just follow rules and just stay in line, follow all these rules, that's not what Jesus asked us to do. It wasn't about following rules. What Jesus asked us to do as believers is to shine a light to other people, to show people the love of God in everything that we do. That's why those things in the Bible that we sometimes think are rules or right or wrong, it's God setting you up in the best way possible to show people his love. And for those of you who are Christians, maybe this feels like a lot of pressure. You're like, okay, I see that I'm the light of the world. If I'm supposed to be the light of the world and make sure the way that I'm living is like others are watching and what I do and what I say, does that mean that I can't make a mistake? Does that mean if I mess up that I'm just screwed? Like I can't do anything about this, right? Like I'm supposed to live up to this expectation so other people can see God. Do I have to get it right all the time? And the answer to that is no, not really. Because we're never going to get it right 100% of the time. And if you expect to get it right 100% of the time, you will fail over and over, and you will disappoint yourself over and over. But that's not what being a party starter, what being a Christian is all about. We're supposed to look to Jesus in everything that we do. That's what being a Christian is about. It's that before we lift our heads from our pillow, we're thinking of ways that we can live for Jesus. It's to remember that sacrifice that he made for us so that we could be in relationship with God. It's to devote our lives to trying to shine a light of God, to shine love, to shine peace, to shine hope to every single person that we encounter. That when people see us, they think, man, they're different. We're not gonna be perfect. You won't be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. But through the grace of God, we're going to grow and become more and more like Jesus when we choose to follow him, to live like him, and to honor him. If every day when you wake up, you make it your goal to live as close to Jesus as you can, you're going to watch your life change. When we admit that we're not perfect, we need Jesus, and we choose to follow him, the Spirit of God moves in us. We're changed from the inside out. The Spirit changes us. It changes the way that we see and how we see it. And it slowly, slowly transforms our hearts and our minds to be more like Jesus. transforms us to have peace when our life feels like there's chaos all around us. When it feels like there's that never-ending storm. And through the grace of God in the midst of that, we can feel peace. It transforms us to have compassion toward that person who treated you really, really crappy last week. They did something to you that just feels unforgivable. But through the grace of God, we have compassion and forgiveness to them. It transforms us to have patience with our siblings or our parents or our friends or whatever it may be, whenever it feels like they're just constantly saying things to you and trying to change who you are, and it just feels really, really overwhelming. But through the grace of God, we receive patience in all of that. In fact, God's Spirit is already working in this world all around us. That's why I want you all to start asking this question. Maybe it's at the end of your day, beginning of your day, middle of the day. Maybe you ask it multiple times. But ask yourself, where have I seen God today? Remind yourself over and over and over again of the things that you're thankful for, of the places that you felt like you saw God move. Write them down. Put them in the notes app on your phone. I don't care how you do it, but we need to continue to remind ourselves of the things that God is doing and how he's moving in the world right now. This is a way that it helps open our eyes to see the goodness of God and to see his love in the everyday world. You see, being a party starter means that it's being someone who shines a light into this world. It means that you use what you have to help others see the work of God in their life. And whenever you do that, whenever you choose to shine your light, you're not doing it for your own recognition. You're not doing it so people will look to you and say, wow, that guy's awesome. But you're doing it because it will make them see that you're different and you can point them to God. And here's what I love about this. It's that no matter our insecurities, no matter our doubts, no matter how much influence we think we have or we don't think we have, Jesus is reminding us that we have a purpose. Jesus wants you to know that you have a purpose. They are not just here by accident. And that purpose is to shine a light on all that God is doing in our lives and in the world around us, to use our lives, our talents, and our abilities to point others to God. And here's how I want to encourage you to think about it as we wrap up. First, ask yourself this question. Where do I have influence? Where do you spend a lot of your time? Who are you with on a regular basis? Who are the people that you see over and over and over again? Who might be looking up to you? Who's listening to what you have to say? We all have someone. This could be in your home with your family. It could be in your tribe group, here at church, on social media, on your team, or in your friend group, whatever it might be. There's somebody. And I know some of you may not think that you have influence at all, but I promise you that even if it's just one person, that's a big deal. Because you have what it takes to be a party starter. And that means that you have the influence to point others to God. Then ask yourself this: how can I be a light? So what would it look like to use the influence you have, big or small, to be a light? How can you use your words? How can you use your actions, your choices, your time, your gifts to shine a light in this world, to be different, to stand out for God's glory? You don't have to be perfect. Maybe you just take a small, simple step first, because that can still make a really big difference in someone's life. So remember that a party starter lives like others are watching. They use their influence to shine a light on what God is doing in the world. And that's what I hope all of you will choose to do this week, and to remember that you have what it takes. You have the opportunity to be a light, to use your influence to help others do the same. And this week, I want you to decide that you're going to be a party starter like others are watching. Not because you're trying to be perfect, not because people will think highly of you, but because you just might point someone to God. I think this world is a better place whenever we choose to show people God's love. And it could very well change the life of a friend, of that family member, or someone that you encounter that doesn't even know how they're going to keep going in this life. I'm asking all of us to not just say that we're Christians, but to live like it, to shine a light to other people. So as we continue in worship, think about this question. What's one way I can be a light in this world? Let's pray. Father, thank you for each and everything that you do for us daily. Thank you for the ways that you work in this world without some of us even noticing. Thank you for the words that Jesus gave us that not only tells us that we have influence, but more importantly, tells us that we have a purpose. So I pray for anyone in this room right now who feels like they have no purpose, that they're just going with the wind, that they're just here, that they would hear these words spoken by Jesus, your son, that they do have a purpose. And I pray that as we live in that purpose, as we wake up each and every day and choose to follow Jesus, that you would transform our hearts, transform our minds. Help us to be more like you. Help us to love people and to show them your love. It's in your name we pray. Amen.